Yeah, each follower of these false religions, you can go and there's a grave where that person is. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a grave over in Jerusalem where he was. Not now. He arose. And I thank the Lord for that. We have a minute or two before I preach. I wonder if you're here tonight and you've been blessed by God, maybe an answer to prayer this week, something you'd like to share with the church, maybe a verse of Scripture that spoke to your heart, or maybe you're just glad you're saved and you want to tell the church about it. Anybody here that wants to testify? Sister Janice. Amen. We want our young people to get saved early. That's for sure. Praise God for that. Amen. Somebody else? Yes, Melinda.
I'm thankful for the different Sunday school teachers. And years ago, most of the days were when we were training in classes, we had training junior teachers. And yet another one of mine passed on to Gloria yesterday. And I'm just thankful for the influence she had on my life, not only as a Sunday school teacher, but as like a sex mom to me when I was a child. So many times when my mom would be in the hospital, I would go and stay with her and her husband. And I'm just thankful for the godly influence that she had on my life, even as a child that age of your daughter.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, Brother Perry, and then I'll get Brother Sam. Sorry. Go ahead, Sam. Yeah.
I love serving Jesus tonight. I want to make heaven my home.
Amen. 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 Go ahead.
Also, I'd say I'm glad the Lord saved me. And we all stop and just think just for a little bit. Where our lives would be if we hadn't made that decision in our life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where would we be at today?
Right.
If we hadn't decided to follow Christ and hadn't come into our church. You know, it's just hard to tell where any of us would be if we hadn't made that decision. And we always want to be for kids and grandkids and all like that, being there, coming to be saved. But it's best that they were saved younger. Many of them testified that you got younger, saved younger, all the memories you have all through life. As we get older, we think of things like that too.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's a real gift. Real gift. Sister Fielder? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. That's good. Sister Patty.
Working on her, but the Lord will open that door for us one day.
Amen. Amen. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And that's awesome. That's the basis of, you know, what so much of what we do. We're children of God, heirs with Christ, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, and brothers and sisters. And I'm thankful for that too. Go ahead and take your Bibles tonight, if you would, please. Turn with me again to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. A couple of weeks ago, we went to a ministry retreat up in Pensacola, the enrichment retreat, and it's for pastors and ministry leaders, song leaders, youth pastors. Psalm 139. And they have it once a year. Tremendous messages, just a great time to get away and to have just focus on being fed. Really some different, really good dynamics they have. And they take care of the kids, child care. They make it really affordable, take care of your meals. One of the things we did was the last night we went out to a camp that the college owns, Camp of the Pines. And there's a zip line course there. Not just one zip line, but two. And one of the zip lines probably is, I'd say it's a quarter mile long. And the elevation, the tower, the one tower that you climb, is probably easily 100 foot tall. And I don't know if I've shared this with you, but I'm afraid of heights. Well, I've done the zip line before. And I decided I was going to do it again. And I climbed up the zip line, and they put you in this full body harness with a helmet and all of these things. And can I tell you, you're very aware of that harness. You're very aware of it. It grabs you. Ugh. You know, there's not much wiggle room or squeeze. You ever used a harness in construction before, Brother Sam? You're very aware of them. I had no fear. The harness, you're so aware of it, the cable is right there in front of your face. I was not afraid. I jumped on the zip line, went down. It was great fun. I had a great time. Well, at the college, there's also this thing called rock wall, rock climbing wall, 60 foot tall for the college students and whatever. And they hooked me up in a similar harness, but when they hook you in, there's this thing that as you're climbing, it takes up the slack on a strap that's hooked to you, to the ceiling, and it never gets tight. You jump off and it catches you, but it never gets tight. Can I tell you, I was less aware of that, and as a result, my palms were sweating. I wasn't very high. I wasn't 100 feet off the ground. I was probably 20 feet off the ground, and I was afraid. I was scared to death, all right? My wife climbed up the wall several times in two or three different places, and she said, Josh, she said, do it again. Go all the way to the top. And I got almost three quarters of the way to the top, and my heart's beating, and my pulse is racing, and my palms are sweating, and I'm shaking, and I have enough strength to go up. I just didn't really want to. And I climb back down. The guy at the bottom says, jump, it'll catch you. And I said, my mind says it will, but I'm not going to chance. And I fell, and it caught me. You know, there's a very real difference in the way that you behave when you're conscious of something and when you're not conscious of it. The safety was there either way. I think the thing's rated at like 2,000 pounds or 10,000. It's ridiculous. Have you ever noticed the impact, the effect, the presence that just being conscious of something will have on you? You're driving down the road and all of a sudden you're conscious that there's a highway patrolman parked there. You know, everybody's stoplights go on. Many times my children, they behave differently when they're conscious of dad versus somebody else watching them. Have you thought about the consciousness, the effect that being conscious of God's presence has in your life? You know, I want to remind you that God is always present with you, whether you're aware of it, whether you're conscious of it or not. The reality is He's always present with you.
Right.
Psalm 139, look at what the scripture says. He says, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou art understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. The word compassed means to surround it. And art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows our thoughts before we think them. He knows our words before we speak them. He knows our path before we take it. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and hast laid thy hand upon me. He's present. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high, I cannot attain unto it. It's unfathomable. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If you wanted to, if you tried to. I'll tell you what, the prophet Jonah figured that out. He couldn't get away from the presence of God. If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Unborn babies, God knows them, and he's there. Folks, I want to just to focus on something tonight. I believe that a consciousness of God's presence will have a dramatic influence on our lives. I want to preach to you tonight, conscious of his presence, conscious of his presence. Let's pray. Dear Lord, please help us tonight. Help us, Lord, just to think about, be deliberate in the way that we behave, the things that we do, to consider our lives and the turns and twists and the highs and lows, and remember that you're there with us. Lest we be careless, lest we be depressed, lest we be discouraged, or lest we fear. Lord, I pray that your presence would be conscious to us. Grip us and change us. In your name I pray, amen. Folks, you know that our God, it says here, he is omnipresent. Our God is everywhere at one time. Our God is indwelling. He's more than just everywhere. He's in everyone who's a believer. So not only is he there, he's in you. And wherever you're at, he's with you. He resides in you through the Holy Spirit. I remind you of what the scripture says in Hebrews 13:5. Jesus says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never. Well, Pastor, what if I do this? Or what if this happens? Or what if? When Jesus says never, he means never. You know what that means? It means our righteous God is with us at all times. He sees unrighteousness. He's aware of it. Means our powerful God is with us at all times. Our just God, our loving God is with us at all times. Our gracious God, our merciful God, the one who died for our sins is with us at all times. Our holy God is with us at all times. He is holy. He calls us to be holy. He says, be holy for I am holy. And he's with us. That ought to change the things that we say, the things that we do, that we entertain, how we behave, what we pursue, our passions in life. Right. You know, our sovereign God is with us at all times. When you feel like things are out of control, remember that God is with you. So they really can't be out of control, can they? Because he's in control. Is God ever out of control? No, church, he's not. And I dare say if we thought about it, if it really possessed us, it would sustain and change us when we confront things. It would change our fears, wouldn't it? What did the psalmist say in Psalm 23? He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It wasn't the absence of danger that brought him comfort. It was the presence of his God. Your fight with temptation, how would that change? Well, If you know He's with you, the Scripture says, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. God is with it, making a way to escape. Not only that, but regardless of what you're tempted with, you remember what the Scripture says in Proverbs, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all His goings. That would change some of the times when we're tempted to do things. What about our anger? When we're angry with other people? Well, the Scripture says in Romans chapter 12, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Conscious of a God who will repay and yet calls us not to. If you're conscious of His presence, I dare say that would change the way that you behave toward aggressors. Proverbs 24, listen to what the Scripture says here. You know, I talked about, you know, the policeman on the side of the road. It says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. Let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and it displease him and he turn away his wrath from him. There's really a balance there. God says, it's my job to avenge, but if it's going to give you too much pleasure, I just might not do it. That's the God that's with us. He loves mercy more than judgment. What about our speech? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Our God, these are His words, and He is with us at all times, listening to the way that we speak to other people. Oh, I know people can be annoying. I live in the same world you do. But do you think it was any less so when the Bible was written? No. Look at what the Scripture says here in Ephesians 4, verse 29. Well, look at verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his own hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Pastor, what is corrupt? Well, I'd say that edifying is the opposite of corrupt. So if it's not edifying, if it's tearing down, then it's corrupt. Our God who wrote this is with us, watching us and witnessing every day, all day long. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. See, there it is. He's with us. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He hears. He sees. He indwells you. He wants to use your mouth as an instrument of grace. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, more like Christ and less like the flesh. It would influence our speech, our jokes, our remarks, our gossip. It would influence our kindness if we remembered, if we were conscious of His presence. I dare say, now you, I am not God, I'm just your pastor, okay? But if I were to be with you, or someone you respected were with you every day, your behavior would change, would be modified, whether you were conscious of it or not. Well, how much more so with the Lord? What about our worries? If He were with us at all times, you know, like the difference between that strap that didn't feel like it was going to catch me and the one I was very aware of, it would change the way that I have worries. Well, He's with me at all times. The prophet Isaiah said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. A strong consciousness of God will change the way that we respond to worry. Let me say this. If we're more worried about things we cannot control than we are having faith in God who's in control of all, it tells us where our focus really is. I think it would change your love for others and the way that you live that. Jesus says in John 13, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples." He could have said a lot of things. He could have said that men will know your disciples by your bumper sticker. You know, we get an Independent Baptist Church bumper sticker. I don't have any of those yet, but I'm thinking about it. Buy your church polo, you know, buy your gospel tract. They'll know you're my disciples. By the way you talk or don't talk, no, they'll know by your love. Now, they'll hear by other things, but it will make an impact on them by your love. Do you know that the God who calls us to do that, who loves us and loves the world, is with us at all times? We should be conscious of him. You know, the problem is we get distracted. In the world that we live in, and I believe, you know, your problem, my problem, we're not nearly as aware of it as we need to be. We are far more conscious of so many other things, things that we can touch, things that we handle, that we see. We get distracted. Distracted by things that may not necessarily be bad, but distracted nonetheless. The routines of life, the hobbies, the pursuits that we have. And we're more aware of those things than we are the presence of our Almighty God, the power of our God, the holiness of our God, the commands that God gives us. Sometimes believers who fail to be unconscious of God, they drift away over at time. They begin to miss church. They begin to miss time in God's word and begin to miss the fellowship of God's people. And as a result, they're not conscious of God. They're much more conscious of the things that they see on a daily basis. Would you agree? You're much more conscious of the IRS at this time of year. Yes. Yes, you are. All right. Because you're seeing those things and you're hearing those things and they're part of your life on a daily basis. And you know, I either filed my tax return and I had to pay a bunch of money, or I got to file it soon, or I might be waiting for a return, some money back. You know, you're very conscious of it. I would say, friend, there's a couple things we can do to increase our consciousness. Several commandments that have to do with focusing our heart. And it doesn't happen by accident. By the way, when we give praises in church, I do that so that we're conscious of God's praises. How often does God do things in the week that we see? Maybe little things, maybe tokens of grace, an answer to prayer that's a little thing. And we don't mark it up. We don't keep it in a prayer journal. We don't immediately share it with one another. Now, does that hurt God? No, he's still God. But you know what that does? It hurts us. Because we're less conscious of the presence he has in our life. Take your Bible and turn over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. Verse 16. When Paul tells the Thessalonian church these commandments, each of these is done with God in mind, God's influence, God's blessings, his power. And each of these, when we obey these commands, they put us in mind of God and of the truth of his word and what he's done in our lives. Look at verse 16. He says, "Rejoice evermore." Well, elsewhere he says, "Rejoice in the Lord." Because of what God has. If God never did another thing for me, I've got a home in heaven. He saved me. If he never did anything else for me. You know, Christians sometimes will feel very put down or like nothing's going their way. And I say, "Well, are you still saved?" Yes. Rejoice evermore. If you lose everything else in life, you can't lose salvation. He says, "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing." That means don't stop praying. "In everything give thanks." Two sandwiched commands to give thanks right around praying. "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying." What are prophesying? That's preaching. That puts you in mind of the Lord and his word. "Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil." Why should I do that? Well, because of God's commandments and God's presence. I believe these commandments help put us in consciousness of God. I have Just a couple things. One of them is to talk with God. Talking with God makes us conscious of God's presence. I believe it is. And it's a response to God's presence. The psalmist says in Psalm 55, he said, "As for me, I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I cry and pray aloud, and he shall hear my voice." The psalmist believed it was important to talk to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Can you imagine if there was somebody that was with you 24/7 and you only spoke to him two or three times a week? That would be kind of awkward, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Have you ever been in a car ride with someone and you run out of things to talk about? So you just watch the window. You're like, nice scenery. You know, gets kind of awkward. Now, us men, sometimes conversations can die out and it's not awkward at all. We're perfectly content with silence. You know, I'll be with a different guy or some things going on. And no, I realize suddenly nobody spoke for 30 minutes and we're both fine. That's cool. You know. But if it went on like that all week long. If another person were with you and you spoke to them as much as you speak to the God of heaven, how awkward would it be? We should be carrying, when it says pray without ceasing, that is a continuing conversation with the God of heaven throughout the day. God wants us to have a conversation that really never ends. There's not a goodbye because he's always with us. When things happen, talk to him. Now, some of you talk to yourself already. Let's talk to God, okay? He listens. Pray without ceasing. He cares. He can take care of it. Instead of griping to someone else, talk to the Lord. He can change the situation. Talk to him about what? You know, I don't have anything to talk about. Okay, really? What about confessing our sins? If we are faithful and just to confess our sin, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those ornery thoughts you have towards other people, the things that you say that you shouldn't have said, confess it to the Lord and then call up the person and confess it to them. What about thanksgiving when the Lord saves you from that accident? You know, you didn't see a car coming. You got a good deal at the grocery store through a coupon. We, you know, we love to share those with people. Oh, look at this coupon that I got. You know, thank the Lord for that. Thank him for the good things around you. The psalmist says in Psalm 63, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." He says in Psalm 119, "Seven times a day do I praise thee because thy righteous judgments." Seven times a day. I'd say that's praying without ceasing. He didn't say when it was. Early, it says morning, noon, and night. That's probably when he was eating. I don't know. But seven times a day, that seven is the number of perfection, of completion, the entire day along. When you wake up, the first thing you should do before you open your eyeballs, Lord, thank you for this day. Before you get out of bed. When you go to bed at night, talk to the Lord. Psalm 139, the psalmist says this, that same chapter that was talking about the Lord knowing everything, being everything, doing everything, and capable of everything. He says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Lay it to heart. Talk to the Lord. Adoration, talking to God about God, confession, thanksgiving, requests, and intercession, praying for other people. How many times have you been, now I know we have a problem with this because we don't like silence. I talked about not having, you know, points in conversation where it's silent. I've noticed that many times, okay, I'll just say me, we're addicted to noise. When it's too silent, some people don't like it. I've been around some people and they've actually made the comment, "That's too quiet here." I'll remind you that the Lord spoke to the prophet in a still small voice. And sometimes when that still small voice is coming and we allow ourselves to be in silent, you know what God will do? He'll bring people to our mind who need to be prayed for. I can't tell you the number of times that I've been trying to preach and I keep getting interrupted by people coming to my mind. And I'm not talking about phone calls. I'm trying to prepare to preach, I should have said, not preach. Trying to study, and I'm studying God's word, and somebody's name comes to my mind, and Okay, yes, I should pray for them. I know that's from the Lord. There's no other reason. And another name will come. I'll be driving down the road and someone will just be on my heart. And pray for them. Intercession. That's prayer. And I'll tell you, friend, that will help you to be conscious of the God that is with you, that is in you, that desires to use you and influence you.
Right.
Talking with God. I'd say talking about God. You know, usually the people that you're around, they talk about the things that are important to them. And that's good. It's good to get to know people. I'm glad when folks finally feel comfortable enough to open up and they talk about the things that are important to them. And then after you're around them for a while, you wish they wouldn't talk so much. No, I'm just kidding. We get to know people that way. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But you know what should be important to us? It's our relationship with God. And it can be a difficult thing, especially if the people that you're talking with don't know the Lord, if they're secular, if they're unsaved. And so ask God to give you the ability to do that. We should talk about God more. I think one reason we don't is because we're not as conscious of Him as we ought to be. Once again, if I had someone with me, a person of importance, and I walk into a room and I'm talking with other people, you know what I would do? I would introduce them. Wouldn't you do that? Would you not do that? Yes, you would do that. You would say, "Hi, how are you doing? It's good to see you again. This is my friend, so-and-so." And usually you go from, I think it's, you introduce the person who's of less honor to the more honor. I learned that in school and then I forgot it. I still try to remember, okay? Sometimes we're afraid of offending other people, being ridiculed by them or just being awkward. You wouldn't do that if you had somebody with you. You know, if I had the president with me, I wouldn't be afraid of that. I'd introduce him. I'd be proud of it. We worship the God of creation.
Amen.
Let's not be afraid of it. You know, who cares if they don't believe in him? He's still there. We can tell, what can we tell other people about God to talk to them? Well, we can talk about our answered prayers for one thing. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And that's one good thing about doing it in church. You know, I give that opportunity and you say, "I'm thankful I'm saved," or "God answered my prayer," or "the Lord spoke to me through a scripture verse," or "I'm thankful for these things in my life." You want to strike up an interesting conversation with somebody, tell them that God answered prayer. So what if they don't believe in God? That's a great thing to do because then they'll have to explain that, you know. And sometimes I've done that before and the person will say, "Oh, that's really good luck." No, my God is not named Luck. Okay. But I'll tell them that, you know, I have a neighbor or two and I'll just tell them, "Hey, you know what? Let me tell you about this. It really happened." And I'll say, "I was praying about this and God answered my prayer." And they'll go, "Wow, that's interesting." You know, they don't know how to respond, but you're beginning to tell them about your relationship with God. You are conscious and they are conscious that this is real to you. You can ask others about their belief in God. When they have a difficulty, you say, "Well, I'll pray for you." You're bringing the God that is with you into this conversation, into this relationship in a real way. That doesn't mean you're constantly trying to convince them of doctrine, but you're making God a very real part of the relationship. So even if they don't believe in God, they're conscious that you do. That means Christians are God conscious. It'll change the way that you live. By the way, if we talk about God often enough and positive enough, they might want to meet Him.
Amen.
And then I would say listening to God. Think about this. We worship the only true God. There are many, many counterfeits out there. Millions of them. We worship the only one that really exists.
Right.
And the Bible says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me in my face." He's the only one. Not only do we worship the only true God, but we worship a God who has spoken. You know how many people are worshiping the gods of their making and they have to manufacture the things that they believe? The people that worship the trees and they worship the spirits of animals and they have to manufacture these things that they should believe in, these tenets of their religion. Our God has spoken and He has preserved His word. It is here. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God's Word is here. We worship the one true God. He has spoken. He has preserved His Word, and He's given it to us today. And when you open God's Word, you're reading God's words to you. You're seeing the mind of God. I'd say that's a good way to be conscious of God. Jesus said, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be given unto you." It changes us. It changes our desires. It changes our consciousness. I think a lot of Christians, we would do well to be more conscious of God, talking with Him, talking about Him, listening to Him. You know, so many of us are poor listeners. And preachers are probably the worst. I've heard a joke before that when preachers get together, they don't have a conversation. They just take turns talking. At preachers' fellowships and everything, I have a lot of good friends that are preachers. Brother Mott is a friend. I love you, brother. And he's a preacher, and Brother Hankins is, and I have other friends that are preachers. But every time I go to a preacher's fellowship, I think of that joke, and I just get tickled because I watch them talking to each other, and I can just imagine who's taking turns now, you know. We're absent-minded, though. We're absent-minded. But God has given us His Word, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's not just for salvation. That's to increase us. Herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. And as His Word is in us, and as we listen to it and allow it to penetrate our hearts, we become more conscious of His presence. How frequent can we listen to God's Word? Well, I don't think you can do it too frequently. You know, I like to listen to some things. Don't hold it against me, but I like to listen to talk radio. I don't watch the news. I listen to talk radio. You know what? After a while, it gets pretty discouraging. So I shut it off. But I can listen to preaching, and that's better. I can listen to God's Word. You know, the advent of so much technology nowadays, there is not a good reason not to have God's Word pouring into your heart and soul. We can read it on our telephones. We can listen to it through apps. We can have it playing in our house. I have an Alexa that, you know, my wife is on this smart house kick. She wants us to have a smart house. I'm just glad it keeps the rain off my head, you know. And she wants it to be smart so we can tell the house to unlock the front door. And I could do that with a key, you know, but I love my wife, so we do these things. I can say, "Alexa, read me the Bible," and she will. Alexander Scorby, you know, over there quoting the Bible. There is no reason not to have God's Word pouring into our lives. I like reading forums on the internet. Some people like different things. You know what I like to do in my free time, just to veg? After a long day, I like to go home and I like to read car forums where people find out solutions to broken cars. Pastor, that's strange. Hey, you know what? That's okay. But the Bible is better. That's not going to influence my eternity. Christian radio is good. I talk with different folks about depression and about struggling, and they say, I just don't feel good. I say, well, have you turned on Christian radio? Have you listened to Christian music? That can be playing in the background. You don't have to sit there, and it will change the mood of the room. And as God's Word is lifted up, we are more conscious of His presence. Does it change that He's there or not? Is He more there because all this? No. But it changes us. It changes us. It changes. It's all the difference in the world to us. And then memorizing Scripture. I believe we should do that more frequently. When's the last time you were by yourself and you just focused on God? When's the last time you were just by yourself and you just focused on God? Now, I know many of you could say pretty frequently, preacher, I've got a prayer closet. I've got a time with the Lord. I've got a scheduled time. God speaks to me, or He lays things on my heart. Chances are, friend, if that's the case for you, then it works its way out in your life, in your conversations, in the solutions to your problems. The next time you're by yourself, instead of picking up the remote control or the smartphone or turning on the radio or picking up the paper or watching TV, I'm not saying those things are bad. They're not. But you know what? They can become a distraction that's out of control if we're not careful. They can. Like anything. Maybe turn it off once in a while. Allow it to be silent. Or turn on the radio and turn on Christian music. Meditate on a truth from Scripture. Write down a Bible verse and keep it where you would meditate on it. Remember or write down the prayer request that God answered. Text somebody and say, I've been praying for you. Talk about God. Talk with God. Let God talk to you. Meditate on His words. Be conscious of His presence, because, friend, He's with you at all times. And that would change the way that we live if it really consumed us. You know, there are things that consume people, and I know they're consumed, and you can see them. And you know what you say about those people? They're imbalanced. Sometimes Christians get that way. Whether it be the political climate, whether it be the economic climate, whether it be the things taking place in this world, you know what should consume you is the presence of your God in your life. That's not imbalanced. Amen. I'd say that's what God wants us to be. Let's be God conscious, conscious of His presence tonight. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your word. Help me, Lord. I'm a distracted, absent-minded individual. Help me to give You the time of day more often, to listen to You, to talk about You, to be obsessed with who You are, to share You with this world. Lord, I pray that Your presence would just change me on a regular basis. Help each one of us, dear Lord, in that aspect. We do thank You for everything You do for us. And God, I pray that You'd help us to live for You. In Your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed? Talk to the Lord for a minute during our invitation. If God has spoken to your heart about something specific and you need to make a decision, then friend, this is the time to do so.